This broadcast is coming to you from the Metropolitan Tabernacle of the First Baptist Church of Algiers, 501 Opelousas Avenue, New Orleans, Louisiana, and our zip code number is 70174. And we're glad that you tune in with us. Praise God for the Bible School of the Air that just passed. And may He bless us and lead us in this worship hour. Our Father, we thank Thee that at this time Thou knowest our needs, and we come bringing them to Thee. And our Father, we know You love us. Thou art faithful. You said You'd never leave us nor forsake us. And Thou art with us this morning, the mystic Christ, the revealed Christ in our hearts and exalted among us. Our dear Heavenly Father, we just love Thee this morning. We love our Lord because all that Thou hast done for us in saving us, in our Father working out a way that You could save sinners. And we just want to thank Thee this morning for it. Give us grace and exercise of heart this morning that we may speak the truth as it is in Christ, the Word of God that's sharper than any two-edged sword. Our Father, lead us and guide us. Keep us in this hour. Bless these who wait before us in this tabernacle this morning and out in radio land. For Christ's sake, we ask it. Amen. Now let us turn to number 55 and sing At the Cross. 55. Yes, at the cross. Not ashamed of the cross of Christ, are we? And so let us sing again now. Number 90. number 90, and let's stand as we sing it. Why should he love me so? Let's all stand as we sing it. Everybody sing it. Every child who can read, can sing. Come on and sing it with me. And ask myself that question, why did he love me so? Why did he love me so, such a sinner, such a rebellious sinner like I was? Why did he love me so? How come such love? God loved us. He loved us so much he gave his only begotten Son, that whomsoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And that life is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. I want to report to you on the offering so far that we have received for the pews. We have $8,000 on hand. Of course, that's a long ways from 30,000 that I hope that will come in, that will enable us to get the new pews and fix the floor up like it ought to be and grace this tabernacle. But we could still be at it and striving towards it until it becomes a reality. And if you haven't turned anything in, I know some of you cannot, but perhaps there are many of you who can. I'm looking to you to help us. There's nowhere else I can look but to you people who are part of us here to help us to grace this tabernacle here with new pews, flooring. And as you notice, we're almost through with the painting of the top. They're above us now. They should be through this next week. And then we'll begin on something else. You can be sure all of your money, you give it towards the pews and the flooring, it'll go towards that. I know some of us can give more than others. Some can give $200 and $300 and $400, $500 without even feeling it. And like someone said, well, give $1,000 and feel it, which is pretty good. But any amount that you can give. And when all the pledges are in, and if there's not a sufficient amount to cover it, we'll go back and do it all over again. And so that's the way it goes. Just keep going for the Lord. Keep building. And that shows a church is on the move. And I praise the Lord for that. But you help us, and you're giving to a worthy cause. It's not money that's not being spent properly. It's money that's being spent for the glory of the Lord. Everything you give in your tithes and your offerings is going for the glory of the Lord, to getting out the message for the Lord's work. And so, praise the Lord, we have that amount on hand now in the bank, $8,000. That's coming for the pews and the flooring. And we praise the Lord for that. So if you haven't given yours, I just thought I'd remind you of it. Just a little reminder that you help us out in this. And if you made a pledge, you keep that pledge. We're glad to greet you again this morning. And now without any more comments, we're going to go into the message. You'll turn to us again to the third chapter of John. We'll continue where we left off last Sunday. The third chapter of John. I hope to close it out this Sunday. There's so much in here, but it's profitable for every one of us, for our learning and instructions, and for you who are not saved, whom God is dealing with now. The must of God's word. That's what we're reading here, the must of God's word. There are certain things that you must do. Some things you don't have to do, but this is a must. And you'll find it here in the third chapter of John, the Gospel of John. Beginning with the first verse, let's go over it again. There was a man, it could be you and I, religious or otherwise. Let's think of it. There was a man. There's a man that came here this morning. There's a woman that came here this morning. There's a child that came here this morning. It was a man. And you may be in search of the Lord Jesus Christ. You may be in search of salvation. You've been looking for it for a long time. You may be listening in to me out there. There's a man out there listening to me. There's a woman out there listening to me. A child. Well, before me, I have the Word of God. I have that which is essential. for you to enter into the kingdom. You talk about heaven, but are you going there? You say, I want to go there. Well, there's an essential need on your part that you must know. There's a must written in God's word on your part that you must know. And it must be taken reverently, fervently, without question. And that's what the Lord Jesus was given here to Nicodemus, a man of the Pharisees, a ruler of the synagogue, a righteous man in his own eyes, like the Apostle Paul. He was a ruler of the Jews, which meant that he was a leader, he was a teacher. But he came here face to face with the greatest teacher. And there was something in his heart that he was not completely satisfied with. There was something missing. As a learned man as he was, he knew he needed to see someone greater than he, more learned than he, and so is you and I. He was a learned man, a ruler. And if he needed to go to Christ and learn more and to find out what was missing in his life, so you and I must come. And he came, as it were, like a little child they wanted to learn. God saved him. And so he can save you. Not many. Not many righteous. Not many noble. Not many. So we don't become discouraged when men turn the gospel down. There's not many. When you turn upon the word of God and turn upon his way of salvation, we're not discouraged. We know there's not many that's going to be saved. Not many called, not many mighty, not many noble. But God has called, and God is calling. And he's calling you. He's calling his elect today. And you may not even realize that you're his elect. And you know you won't until after God saves you. Then you'll look back and as you review the word of God and as the Holy Spirit unfolds to you the plan and purpose that God had for you in this life and saving you, it'll rejoice your heart. It'll make you be astounded. It's just like you might, that song just now, that why did he love me so? You may ask your mate, your husband or your wife, what did he see in me? Why does he love me so? He loves me, you see. Like the husband turning to his wife and say, honey, I don't know why you love me, but you love me. Or it could be vice versa. Why you love me? Why does he love me so? And I've heard stories of that, of women who were down in society, and someone come along and take that woman to be his wife. But it was something that man saw in her that nobody else. You see? And you wonder. She'll wonder, why he loves me? What did he see in me? You see? And the same way with our Lord. What did he see in me? He loves me. He saw me down in the pool of despondency, down in the pit. Down, as it were, in the belly of hell. Nobody else wanted me. But he saw me. He said, I love thee with an everlasting love. He loves me. And I can say myself, why do you love me so? You know he loves you? Yes, I do. His love was shed abroad in my heart by God's Holy Spirit. And I know he's mine. And never the twain shall ever separate. And so we praise the Lord for salvation in Christ. And so here Nicodemus was looking something much for much better than he had. He wasn't completely satisfied. And you're not satisfied this morning. There's something missing. There's a missing note. There's a missing link there. You're not enjoying the Lord. You're not enjoying Christ. You may rejoice in religion and what knowledge you might have, but you're missing the substance. You're missing Christ, and there's something missing. And so you've turned this way this morning, and God's given us a message for you. And may you hear the word of God this morning and live. May you find that missing link, that missing note, religious or otherwise you might be. There was this man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus. He was a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, which means master, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Now, he heard about the miracles. Evidently, he saw them. And something different about him. There was something different about Christ. And I'm telling you, there's something different about Christ. There's something different in reality than just a mere profession, or just going to church, or just knowing the truth. You may be a leader of a great congregation, a great church, but there's something missing. There's something different about Christ, about knowing him, than knowing in an experience and trying to relate that experience to others. And then many times you fall flat. But have you ever tried to stop and think about reality? I can talk about reality. I can talk about Christ. And I can talk about a living personality. I can talk about someone who's real and who does love sinners and associates himself with sinners. And he is a friend of sinners. Can I just whisper that to you? He's more than life to the individual who knows him. He's our water. He's our bread. He's our joy. He's our strength. He's our power. He's our coming King. My Lord, my Savior, that's who he is. And I want to introduce you unto him this morning, to our living Christ. And so here was Nicodemus. The same came to Jesus by night. And he said, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I the Amen from the beginning, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Unless a man is born again, he cannot see life. He has no life. Except a man is born again, he's dead in trespasses and sins. You may have a lot of religion. You may have been baptized. You may have done all the performances of the church, kept all the ordinances. But except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He cannot enjoy God. He cannot enjoy Christ. There's nothing there to enjoy. When God saves a sinner, he lifts him above all the enjoyments of religion that you found in religion. He lifts you up to where you can enjoy him. And you're feasting upon him. Not just empty religious worship, but you're feasting upon the living God. So listen, my friend. Listen to you in Radio Land. You may not have heard this before. You may have heard it 1,000 times. And many of you professors, many of you are once members of this church. I hope you're listening in. Will you listen? I'm pleading for you. I've been thinking about you this week. My heart's been going out to you who left the truth. Listen, my friend, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Except you've been born of the water and of the Holy Spirit, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Will you listen? I'm pleading for your soul, because if you're not born again, that means you'll never get to heaven, but your own desert will be hell. That's the word of God. That's not my word. Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. You've had it all your life. You've built your religious life upon an empty religious profession, haven't you? Empty religious works, haven't you? Void of all the knowledge of God, only that which you've received from man, you've built your life upon it. It's been one of just one flesh emotion after another, one experience after another. You were baptized one time after another, and you came to find out that none of that washed away your sins. That's because you have not been born again by the Spirit of God, that you're still in your sins, and there's no joy, there's no happiness there, and you're void of all of God's salvation. Listen to me. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. And like I ended it last Sunday morning, there are those who talk like born-again Christians, who study the lives of great men and try to pattern their lives accordingly. Even you might talk about some great Christian experience, and that's all you know, a great Christian experience. And you had obtained from testimonies of true Christians, and you pride yourself that you are a member of a church, and you go to church every Sunday. You pride yourself that you have been baptized. You even take the Lord's Supper, the ordinance of the church, or you might be a deacon or an elder. But my friend, have you been born again? Do you know Christ? Or you are a religious professor, religiously lost if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. You are everything that Christians should be, except you are without a Christian heart. You know what God calls those individuals? I don't call them that. God calls them that. He calls them hypocrites. Oh, you're a hypocrite. That's what he calls them. Ye make clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Ye are whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Outwardly ye appear righteous unto men, being undetected. But within, you are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. That's God's word for the religious professor. That's the individual who's living an empty religious life that's void of Christ, who boasts the fact that he's a good man, he's a righteous man, cleans up the life all on the outside. He goes to church. He quits his drinking, he quits his smoking, he quits his running around here and there, and he sets himself up as an example of those that should be saved. He prides himself in himself. He's acquired his own worldly wisdom, his own self-knowledge, and he pumps before everybody what a Christian should be and ought to be. And you have him on the air today. You may listen to one this afternoon. I don't know. But I tell you, it's different when you know Christ. Oh, let me tell you something, my friends. The greatest thing in this life, if it'll ever happen to you, is to be born again by the Spirit of God. And then you won't have to strut about trying to gain knowledge to keep yourself religious. But in Christ, Christ gives us living religion, living reality. Now, let me go on. Brethren, take heed. It is very astonishing how near an individual can come to the gates of the kingdom and yet not be born again. I know professors who profess they're saved, but their life doesn't indicate anything of mercy, that they know mercy. And it's hard for them to show mercy when they don't know it. It is very astonishing how near an individual could come to the gates of the kingdom and yet not be born again. He is shut up out from its glories eternally forever. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Hebrews 3:12. Take heed. When God uncovers an individual and shows where he's been living all his life, take heed. Take heed, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. What we have declared here this morning comes from the Word of God. Christ said it, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. When I think of people who take it out on the preacher, they take it out upon him for preaching the Word of God as it is, not realizing that they have to do with God himself. That's right. Every individual has to do with the Lord. Listen. Except a man be born, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now let me emphasize just a little what being born again is not. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. But what being born again is not. Listen. A man may reform himself by quitting his drinking, stopping his cussing, giving up his smoking, casting away many vices, forsaking many lusts in which he indulged, and conquer many evil habits. Now, that is all well in itself. That's wonderful. All well and good, and all should do that. Everybody ought to do that. When you see people giving up evil habits, that's wonderful. You see them quit their smoking, it's ungodly, it's not doing them any good. That's wonderful. Or they quit their drinking, it's good. When they take place in their home, when the husband will take the place in that home and be a father and a husband and be gentle with those children and make a home there, that's wonderful. That's the way it ought to be. And that's what it should be. Every one of us should dedicate our lives to those good practices in the home and out of the home. But listen. This is all well and good, and all should do it. But however, no man can make himself to be born of the Spirit of God. Now, if you count all of that, what you're doing, as a way of salvation, of going to heaven, is all going to fall flat. No man can get to heaven except they're born by the Spirit of God. You can never do that which is beyond your power. It's just like you getting in a pair of boots and trying to pick yourself up in a pair of boots by yourself and you can't do it. You're still there. And that's the individual that tries to, that reforms their life, that quits their evil habits and drinking, and reforming themselves, thinking that's the way to heaven. And that's the only thing that God requires, is for you to clean up your life. But let me tell you, salvation goes way deeper than that. Salvation begins in the heart. Now, these things you do and you reform yourself, there's always a tendency to go back to those things. Do you know that? And how many have tried that? How many have given up their sins, quit their evil habits and drinking? I did that years ago when I was about 16, 17 years old, when I joined the church and was baptized. And I cleaned up my life a little bit, and I quit going to my movies and dancing and everything else. And I brought all that before the Lord. And surely I thought of somebody come. Here was a young fella that was zealous for the Lord now, and I wanted to go preach somewhere. And so I went down to the bayous with another brethren, and there I was. And I was not down there about 2 or 3 weeks. I was raring to get back here and go back and indulge in sin again. And then I found myself lost all over again. And I often think about that. You know, the Lord could have just left me there and sent me to hell, and I would deserve every bit of it. And so I know what it is to clean up a life, but without the power of God to hold that life, to restrain that life, the grace of God in that life and that heart, there's a tendency of going back to the sins that you left. Now you think about it. And there are many professors today that have gone back to their sins because they couldn't hold out no longer. Now Jesus said, except a man be born of water of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. You listening to me here over the radio, have you been born again? Ask yourself that question. Ask yourself that question. Have I been born again by the Spirit of God? I'm not talking about making a profession of faith. I'm not talking about giving your heart to Jesus. I'm not talking about being baptized. I'm not talking about joining a church. I'm asking you, have you been born again by the Spirit of God? If not, if you go out of this life without the knowledge of being born again and knowing Christ, none of that's going to profit you. All your church going, all your water baptism, all your Sabbath keeping. Now, I'm talking to your heart this morning out of a heart that's concerned about you. Because I know where you're going if you don't know Christ. And I know if you reject the message that I have for you, you're going to reject that knowledge that can save you. Do you know that? Now you listen closely, prick up your ears, put it close to that radio that you're listening to, or that you're engineering. You listen. It is by the operation of the divine Spirit as he applies the word of God to the heart that regenerates men, that makes new creation in Christ. Unless God the Holy Spirit, who worketh in us to will and to do, should operate upon the will and the conscience, regeneration is an absolute impossibility, and therefore so is salvation, knowing Christ. Now don't go to sleep on me, friends. You had better wake up. You've been sleeping a long time. You're in your bed at home. You're in that chair there. You had better listen to the word of God. You had better listen. This may be your last message you might hear. You may be beset by a heart attack, die and go to hell. I'm talking to you. There is no other way of being saved. This leaves salvation entirely in the hands of a sovereign God who dispenses it to whomsoever he wills for his glory and for his pleasure. In the salvation of every individual, there is an actual putting forth of the power of God. You may despise the word of God this morning, but let me tell you something. You will not get saved in a part of it. Now you listen. You may make fun of this preaching this morning, but listen, your blood, it won't be upon my hand, upon my head. It's going to be upon yours. Let me tell you something, sinner. Hell is moved from beneath to meet thee at thy coming. You better listen. Now, you trifle long enough, and you've been unconcerned long enough, and you've turned that dial off long enough, and you played those tapes long enough. The hardened sinner has his conscience made tender by the Spirit of God. And he who rejected God and despised Christ is brought to cast himself down at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you ever done that? Do you know Jesus is Lord? Well, all you could talk about is Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Sing about little Jesus and talk about little Jesus, and I'll see Jesus in heaven. But let me ask you, my friend, have you ever bowed at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ and crowned him Lord of your life and ruler of your life, governor of your life? If you haven't, you're not saved. The change of heart and mind is nothing but miraculous. The new birth gives us new natures, makes us love what we hated and hate what we loved. We are on a new road now. The old road we've traveled on a long time. We're not on that road in the morning anymore. We're on a new road that leads to glory. Yes, I can sing of it. It's the glory road. That's right. And my Lord is walking with me. Not my little Jesus. Not my baby Jesus. But my Lord and Savior and Christ. Do you know him? I tell you what. If you ever have a change of heart, your singing's going to be changed. You won't be singing about what you're going to do when you get to heaven. You're going to be singing about blood redemption in Christ. Christ died for me at the cross. Or you won't be singing, I'll see Mother over there. You may, if you're saved, if she's saved. But listen, if you're saved, you're going to sing about Christ. You're going to sing about your Lord with praises in your heart. And one day you will see him. That's right. I'm not going to be looking for my mother. I don't know whether she's there or not. I'm not going to be looking for Papa. I don't know whether he's there or not. But I know my Lord's there. And I know I have been accepted in the Beloved. And I know that I'm his Beloved. And he's my Beloved. And one day we're going to be together. The Beloved. With the Beloved. With him. Except a man be born again, he cannot know about heavenly things on earth. Now you listen. Therefore he will never be able to enjoy heavenly blessings here or hereafter. Heaven begins on earth. I got a little book back home I read years ago, and I've been thinking about it in the last few days. Heaven begins on earth. There's a change of mind, change of heart, change of nature, change of masters, change of friends, change of company. Heaven begins on earth. I'm on a heavenly pilgrimage. Are you? Here on earth, in our hearts, we are regenerated by the Spirit of God here. We're made a new creation in Christ here. As I mentioned last Sunday in our message, an unregenerated soul could never enjoy heaven. Do you know that? You can't enjoy heaven if you're not saved. If you ever got there, you'd never enjoy it. For him to go to heaven in his unregenerated state, he'd be a most miserable individual up there. Do you know that? If you can't stay in our company here, what do you think is going to be in heaven? If those who fail to come in here in the presence of the of the righteous, those who know the Lord, and can't stand their company, what in the world are you going to do up in heaven? When that's all they're going to be up there. Or the righteous, those who have been redeemed by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you cannot stand the company of an individual who's been saved and go into his presence, how in the world are you going to do up there? What are you going to do? You'll be most miserable up there. Do you know that in heaven? Now, why do I say that? For him to go to heaven in his unregenerated state, he would be miserable. His cry will be, if this is what you call heaven, then let me out of here. I don't want no part of it. And how many came here and said, is this what you call a gospel message? I don't want it. And they leave. Some are gone forever. Some will not have this man to rule over them. Some would rather have a religious profession, empty and void of the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Some would rather have just a little bit of religion to get them through this life, knowing that it takes a whole lot of religion, a whole lot of Christ, a whole lot of his righteousness, a whole lot of his glory to get to heaven. It takes all of him. It's not part of Christ here. It's all of Christ. We present a whole Christ to you. For you to get up on the Lord's day to go to the house of the Lord is very tiresome, isn't it? How many of you stood home this morning when you could have been here in the tabernacle? Suppose if everyone thought that way, we wouldn't have anybody here. Suppose a preacher thought it, I wouldn't be here. It's very tiresome, irksome to many to get out of the bed and come down to Metropolitan Tabernacle and worship. I'm not talking about if you're sick or providentially hindered. Would you rather stay home, take it easy in your easy chair, or on your sofa, or in your bed, and you leave it all up to the preacher, and you leave it all up to the others to go there? And, well, what do you think heaven's going to be? What about in heaven? Do you know that in heaven, the Redeemer of all ages will be singing praises all the day long? Do you know that? If you get tired here, and it's of no consequence to you here, what about heaven? It's going to be all the time. But listen, you'll say, yeah, but I'll have new bodies. I'll have a new, I won't get tired. But listen, do you get tired singing praises of our Lord here? Do you get tired of witnessing for our Lord here or coming to the church here to worship? That's no excuse. God's given us a new nature. And if you know Christ, you delight to serve him. You delight to praise him. You delight to seek his face and to worship him. And that's that new nature that you'll have in heaven. It's holy. It's perfect. Never grows tired. Strengthened with might with the inner man. For the inner man. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. It would be too late after death to be born again. Do you know that? Many people are thinking about, well, I'll wait till after I die, and then perhaps I'll be saved. There's a hope so there. But listen, let me tell you, salvation is no hope so. You get saved here, or you'll never be saved at all. Let me go on now. Anyone thinking they have a second chance after death will be miserably mistaken. I'm talking to you. When men die, their state is fixed. It's either heaven or hell. There's no second chance after death. I don't care what you were taught. If you are born again, you shall go to heaven to be with the Lord. If you are not, your destiny is hell. There is no middle ground. There is no such a place as purgatory, where the soul is said to have another chance. There's no such thing as a purgatory. I was taught it. I believed it. until God awakened me and I saw what false teaching, false instructions, and that I've been trained since a child. But there's no such thing as a middle ground. Now, an individual comes either know Christ here in this life and be saved eternally, or he goes on to eternity without Christ, lost forever. That's the word of God, and I shall not be moved from his teachings. And I'll not give you any comfort whatsoever. And that's why I'm pleading for your soul this morning. This might be my last message to you. I hope it is. I hope by the end of next week, I'm up in glory of my Lord. And he could say, my child, my good and faithful servant, thou hast done your best, the best that you were able to do by my grace. Come, come. All that's been prepared for you from the foundation of the world, enter into the kingdom. Like someone said this morning, may he preach as a dying man to dying sinners. And let me tell you something, sinner, you're dying. You're dying. There is no such place as a purgatory, so forget about that. They that die without Christ are lost eternally forever. They cannot be born again. In hell, they will go on fighting and cursing against God, ever rebelling, forever being tortured by their conscience in a state of continuing sinning. Now, how do I know that? Listen to Revelation 21:8. But the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and the sorcerers and the idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. I'm preaching to you, sinner. I'm preaching to you. I'm talking about you who think because that the law has been loosed about you practicing abortion. I'm talking about you. For you to practice that, you are committing murder. No murderer shall enter into the kingdom of God. You better give it second thought, third thought, 10 thoughts. Abortion is murder. The fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, the sorcerers, the idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Then if you read Revelation 22:11, tells us, he that is unjust, let him be unjust. Him that is filthy, let him be filthy still. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. Listen, every individual in hell will go on sinning eternally. Do you know that? We read in Hebrews 3:7-8, wherefore as the Holy Spirit saith today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Also verse 15, while it is said today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Some may say, I hope to turn to the Lord before I die. But let me ask you this question. Are you the author of life and death? Let me ask you. Are you the author of life and death? What evidence can you put forth that will assure you of being alive tomorrow? I read in 1 Peter 1:24, for all flesh is like grass, and all the glory of man is like the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and its flower falleth away. None of us have the power to stay that. Every one of us are dying now. Man, you're dying now. Do you know Christ? You're dying now. Won't you turn to the Lord? Unless you are regenerated by the power of God's Holy Spirit, unless you are born again from above, unless you turn to the Lord now and call upon Him now, tomorrow may be too late. Tomorrow you may be in hell. Do you know that? Sealed forever in your unbelief. My sinner friend, harden not your heart. Don't laugh at the gospel message. Don't slight the call to repentance. You may despise God now and despise me now, but when you come to die in an unregenerated state, that is all going to be changed. Sinners may laugh and play the fool here, but in hell, they no longer laugh. They don't laugh in hell. My boy, my girl, there's no laughing in hell. There's no good time in hell. There's no fun making in hell. There's no laughing and gesture in hell. They are in a place where the worm dieth not and the fire is never quenched. I'm calling upon you in Christ's stead. Be ye reconciled to God. For He had made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. I'm calling upon you to repent. Repent. Unless you repent, you shall all likewise perish. I must leave you in Radio Land at this time. May God bless you. Tune in next Sunday at 7 o'clock for the Voice of Truth at 10 o'clock. Bible School of the Air and 11 o'clock worship. Let us hear from you. Pray for us. May God bless you. Goodbye. One more thought. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. I was thinking yesterday, what a terrible thing it will be for those to be lost with the sound of the gospel ringing in your ears and to perish forever under the ministry of the truth, under this ministry. I was just thinking yesterday about that. What an awful thing it will be for those to perish out from under this gospel ministry. What a sad thing to know that I preached to you the truth as it is in Christ. And as our late pastors preached through the years, and you're not saved. What an awful thing. Then, if you're not saved, ask yourself this question. Can I make merry in my heart? Can I slight the call? Do I have the time for all of that? Haven't I been listening long enough now? And now is the appointed time for you to turn unto the Lord. It's now the time for you to confess the Lord Jesus Christ and be taken up with Him, siding in with Him, walking with Him, turning your back upon everything else. Now is the time to become grave, to become solemn, to become fearful. I am fearful for many. I poured my heart out this morning as best that I knew how. The Word of God is the heart of sorrow. It's a heart of grief, not only over my own children, but your children, the mothers and fathers, because the Word of God has a charge against everybody, everyone who knows not Christ. May you turn to Him. Ask Him to break you. Unfold your heart. Cry unto Him for mercy. Don't cry to me. Don't come to me. Cry unto the Lord for mercy. and he'll have mercy. I know he will, because he showed mercy to me and to others, thousands and thousands. May God lead us and help us. Turn to Christ. Be satisfied with nothing less but Christ and him alone. He is your salvation. Let's stand. Our Father, this morning, we pray thy richest blessings upon this message, upon this day, upon every word heard and received. You said thy word shall not return unto thee void, but it will accomplish that unto which thou hast sent it. Dear Father, bring us back tonight. If thou dost tarry, give us thy message. For Christ's sake we ask it. Amen.